your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor. I began reading tarot when I was still in elementary school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various products and tarot events. So this is our October Ask Cardzi B section of the month, and I'm really excited. I only had three questions, but they're good ones, so I'm excited to go through those. A lot of the feedback that I was getting from people was just like shout outs and excitement about Samhain coming up, and I'm going to go more into those questions closer to the holiday, Halloween, Samhain on the 31st. I will not be here next week because I'm going to Salem, which I'm so excited about. My mom and I are going. It's my first time. I've been to the Boston area before, but I've never spent any time in Salem, and I'm going to be selling a few, my tarot deck to a few shops there. So I'm going to go touch base with them and just really explore. So any of you who spent a lot of time in Salem, the Wonderlust girls from last week's episode, that's their hometown. So they've given me a lot of cool spots to check out, but I appreciate any feedback, any places that you love that I should hit up while I'm there for the weekend, definitely send through DM or through goddesswitchestarot.com. But before we get into our questions, let's go back through, again, our October cards. So first and of course, we have the Libra ruled Justice card. So according to the Order of the Golden Dawn, justice is ruled by Libra season. So we're really working with that balance energy, the scales of Libra. And also chakra-wise, it's that kind of truth, air energy of swords, air of speaking your truth, doing what is fair, what is just, putting boundaries in place, but also the scales that she's holding in her left or receiving hand, which is how do we kind of receive from that third eye chakra, that intuition, working with the balance of the two. And where do we need to kind of observe and intuit this month in order to speak our truth and to put boundaries in place that may serve us and those around us for what is fair for us and what is fair for the collective? The second card, which we pulled from our January 1st, 2020 overview, we have the Two of Cups. And this card, I said in the past two October episodes, is often just kind of written off as, oh, that's the love card. You're gonna meet a new boyfriend or girlfriend this month. And yes, that may be true, but this card is ruled by Venus in Cancer. So it's also that connective energy of, yes, there's sexy Venus vibes in this card, but there's also that collaboration and unification and partnership. So where are you seeing increased connections? And that could be with friends, with family members, this could be clients or coworkers. I personally have had some really meaningful connections with clients and individuals that I'm going to be working with on creative projects. And I was like, oh, there's my Two of Cups energy. I think I like joked at the beginning, the October overview of, yeah, that would be great if it was like this sexy witch that's going to be a romantic encounter. But I'm really seeing this more in the collaborative business sense. And if this is not a romantic endeavor, it might be a friendship or a work relationship, it's something that is going to mutually benefit both of you. When we look at the Smith Rider Waite card, and, you know, thinking about that Venus in Cancer energy, it's an exchange. And it's not, I wouldn't say it's like an agenda-filled exchange. I'm going to do this for you so you can do that for me, quid pro quo. It's more of a like, I'm so excited to work with you here. And then like, I'm so excited to work with you or so excited to be friends with you. Here's what I bring to the table. I feel like I made some amazing new friends in this area. One specifically, I'm going to be talking about her herbs that I'm working into this section as well. So, you know, that energy of friendships that you're both excited to bring your talents, your gifts, your just energetic expressions, and work-wise where you can bring the things that kind of up-level the other person in a really beautiful, unifying exchange of energy. So where is that coming in? This can also really start with that kind of unification within ourselves. If there's been disconnect, if there's been sort of a downplaying of the shadow, I think more of the moon in this energy when we think about the integration of light and shadow and the moon card and that Pisces card. When we've done some of that work, it's kind of creating and clearing space to allow other people's energy that can work and kind of alchemize with ours. So this may start in this month if you're like, I'm not even there yet with, you know, personally, relation-wise or business-wise, like not there. Where can we really kind of work within ourselves to kind of clear? I always talk about cleaning out your parking space. If you have a lot of energetic clutter and debris, be it from past relationships, from like a shitty job or your boss was abusive, where can can we do that cleansing and clearing work to clear that out so that we can start to receive some of this energy in Two of Cups? I'm going to go more into a releasing spell because that came up in one of the questions for the energy of the waning moon. So I'm going to go more kind of into how we can clear space for that if you're not feeling this, if you're like, I don't even see this coming in work-wise or romantically or friend-wise, like I got nothing. I can really give you some tools to start to have some hope for that to come in by the end of the month for sure. So the other thing before I pull our weekly card that I really wanted to look at was what are the upcoming, especially since I'm not here next week on the podcast or the YouTube, what are the energies we're working with? There's been a lot of craziness and a lot of the questions were around this kind of intensity that we're feeling. Saturn just went direct in Capricorn. We still have that very challenging Aries retrograde in Mars. So we're coming up against a lot of energetic crunchiness, I would say, of things that are like, oh, why does this feel so dense? Why does this feel so heavy? It is a good time, which again, I'll get into that spell shortly. It is a really good time to work with clearing because we're in the waning moon cycle from now until October 16th. So from now until, what is that in my notes? It's Friday, October. I have to put the times in my notes up there because I don't have all of that memorized. I have like, you know, a lot of the tarot stuff in my little data bank, but this is in the cloud, if you will, that I have to look up and download. So Friday, October 16th, 3:31 p.m. is the new moon in Libra. So that is up until that point, we're releasing, we're clearing, we're creating space. So I would say work with any of that and just kind of feel your feelings. Allow yourself to feel if you're angry, sad, upset, resentful, kind of let it come up and face it. And then how can we really work with that to clear, to integrate, to kind of alchemize and transmute with the energy of that new moon in Libra, which brings that true, true justice vibes, that feeling of that RBG card of like creating that balance, creating that harmony, being tough when you need to, but striking the balance between that like Swords air energy and that intuition third eye energy. So the next like big point we have after this new moon in Libra, we're going into Scorpio season. So Scorpio, we do have the death card energy with this. So Scorpio is, and I'll talk more about this in the November overview because I do, you know, one astrological ruled card is like the card of our month. So working with obviously Libra in October, we're going to be working with the death rebirth card in Scorpio season. But we have Scorpio coming in the 23rd. So this is a really big, and I love this time of the year. I keep saying it. I'm that annoying Halloween pumpkin witch. But I love the alchemy of this time of the year, of that transformation. And when we think about the death rebirth card, like, yes, there is this energy of things dying, of being kind of broken down, but to be reborn. And I always look at this card as a huge opportunity for transformation. Scorpio is like definitely very a transformative, a deep sign of doing that digging, doing that work, that deep watery energy of Scorpio. And when you think about Scorpion, the creature, they actually molt out of their shells and grow into one so that they can come into one that's expanded into kind of the size, the energy, the shape of who they have become. And I look at this time of the year, especially with that, which is new, like that, which is like new year on Samhain, which is a full moon. This is a big power. It's 2020. Of course, it's going to be like the biggest. It's a full moon in Taurus. It's Halloween. It's Samhain all on the 31st. It's coming into a really powerful rebirth period. So working with that energy as well, starting on the 23rd. So we're starting to move into that Scorpio, really, really embracing the change, really embracing the transformation. But how can we, in the end of the Libra season, how can we clear space in the next couple of weeks to really be like, okay, I'm ready for that level up, I'm ready for that rebirth. So, all right, let's look at our card of the week here. We had a lot of twos already, which is funny because we have, like I said, justice is in the two line of the 11th card. 1 + 1 = 2. So it is associated with all the twos of the minor arcana. We had Two of Swords the week before, Two of Cups. So let's see, what are we going to get? Ah, the Tower. So this is not a two, but We have people always ask me why some people pull their cards out and they pull the card they're feeling. My dad and my grandpa, they always played cards with me of blackjack poker when I was a little girl. So that's why I learned to shuffle. And what I do is I shuffle until I feel good, and then I flip it over, and that's my card. So when people ask about my process for that, that is why. Anyway, we got the Tower. So the Tower is, and we're like, ugh, we're all in the Tower. This could be one of those feelings of like, we've been in the freaking Tower for all of 2020 for a lot of us. But this is really activating that Mars energy of like, oh, like things that you cannot get away from, right? That you're like, I thought I was done with that. I didn't really want to deal with it anymore. And now it's really coming up to the surface. I made this card in my deck. Oh, let me actually get the, hold on, speaking of digging through the deck. In my deck, it's Kesha, because she went through that period of a lot of trauma, sexual, physical abuse, mental, spiritual abuse. And when that all kind of surfaced in her life for her in a big way, it also was so clearing. And she like put out the most, I think, beautiful and powerful record of her entire career after that huge Tower moment. So a lot of us are facing those Tower moments, whether they're like huge loss of a partner in some way, loss of a job, loss of my city, my home for me in New York. And we're kind of, there's a lot of sadness and kind of trauma and loss, but there's also a clearing of energy in a lot of these Tower moments, and that Mars, that kind of, in the destructiveness, there's really a lot of beauty in the breakdown. So I finally found it, sorry, in the Smith Rider-Waite deck that I work from, just so you can see the symbology of both. It's a pretty dark card, and this is why I think a lot of people don't love the Tower. In the Smith Rider-Waite deck, in many decks, it's kind of like you see all these people like falling out, they're literally in flames. This, like, you could call this card 2020 for many of us, just like 2020, the card. But again, there's darkness in it, but it's kind of like, to me, this is a very, ayahuasca card. I reference my work in plant medicine a lot, and it's kind of that, like, I'm gonna go into the darkness. I'm gonna marry the night, to quote Lady Gaga, right? I'm gonna face it. And when we do, we see the things that aren't working anymore, that maybe you have been working up until some point, but we're kind of like, no, that needs to be pulled out. That needs to be looked at. And it may need to be pulled out and removed forever for some of us. So this week, there may be some energies that are challenging. I've had a lot of really intense readings with clients over the past, even just a couple of days to the past week, where huge shifts, like relationship, job shifts, problems within families, but they're coming to the surface. Things that have been with the Tower, it's kind of like, this has been rotting under the foundation for a little bit. It's been infested. You might even kind of know, but you're like, it's fine. I don't want to deal with that. I'm comfortable. This is like, it's like the dog in like this in pop culture memes, like in addition to Kesha as the badass bitch's tarot, Tower card, I would give it like that meme that's been so popular the past year of that dog with the coffee cup and all the flames being like, this is fine. That's kind of stage one of the Tower, of the denial. And then like Mars comes in, the planet of war and destruction, is like, is it really fine? Like, you really want to live like this? And rips it out, right? So this week, not necessarily a huge catastrophic moment. It can be for some of us, it can be. But the thing about like the Mars energy and the Tower is, I kind of like, when we know how to work with it, it becomes less and less horrifying. It's kind of like, I took my niece to this haunted house, haunted hayride, a couple weeks ago here, and she always is like, oh my gosh, for being so tiny, you're so mighty and fearless, because I just, like, the guys with the chainsaws will come right up to me, and I'm kind of like, oh my God, I love your makeup, because again, like the Tower, when you face it, you're like, okay, it's probably not as scary as if I run, or if I'm like, I can't look at it, you're like, I'm going to look at it. I'm going to look at the big scary mess, and the only way out is through. So this week, things that come up, they're probably going to be some triggers, things that are like, oh, maybe even I thought I was done with that. I can't believe this is popping back up. For some of us, that might be an ex popping up. That can be an unpleasant work situation that you're like, I've already moved through this. I've had this conversation before. But how can we embrace that and like kind of thank the universe? Of, thank you for this trigger. Thank you for this lesson. What is it showing me? What am I feeling in my body? What do I need to really access and to allow it to kind of come up and bubble up so that it can be cleared? I mean, the Tower is tough, not gonna lie, but I also have gratitude for the Tower, because sometimes it gives you, it's kind of like, I don't know. I'm someone who I like to, I'm Sagittarius Aries rising. I like to pull the trigger myself. I like to be like, nope, out. Thank you. Learn the lesson. It's that like, it's that I have to be Aries rising. I have to be first. But for those of you who don't like to deal, who don't like the confrontation, you're like, I don't want to be the one to have the relationship. I don't want to make the call. Those of you probably really like the Tower, because it's like, you're like, okay, universe, make the call for me. There might be things that the universe helps you to make the call this week. So, all right, let's take a look at our questions. So the first question I have is from at Calico5D. Oh, that's cute. Cali, K-A-I-L-E-E, Co5D. I like that name. That's like, yeah, it's pretty. So anyway, hey, Cardsy, so happy you added YouTube. I'm a very visual learner, and I like feeling like we're having a chat in my living room. Oh my gosh, I loved this question. So when I read this in my email, I was like, I'm going to make this a full-on Martha Stewart visual presentation to the best of my ability, because I thank you for this email. I like this, and I'm a visual person too. I'm a very visual learner, and I like feeling like we're having a chat in my living room. I wanted some advice on releasing some blocks and feelings of anger and resentment. Yeah, a lot of us, right? Especially during the October waning moon period, to take advantage of this time. Do you have any cards to embody or spells for this? At Calico5D. Thank you, Callie. I think a lot of us are on board. I try to select when people send me questions. Sometimes people will send me a question of like, oh my gosh, but what should I do about my ex? And I'm like, I love you, but my Monday nights are great for that. So those of you who follow at CardsyB on Instagram, my Monday lives, I do free live readings for those of you for whatever reason are not able to get a one-on-one reading with me. And those are for the personal questions, but I try to take questions that apply to as many of us in the conscious collective. So this is a great question for so many of us, Callie. Cards that I would work with in terms of releasing blocks and feelings of anger and resentment. Like, this is a lot of that. So when I talked about the Tower, of being in this this Mars energy of the Tower, we do have Aries retrograde in Mars. So a lot of that being activated, a lot of us being like, I don't know why this wouldn't trigger me this much, but it is. And I can't control, like, you can't fake what you're feeling. You gotta feel your feelings. Some of us, like, I know in the past, I've tried to like numb it with substances. I've tried to run, not look at it, but they're there for a reason. They're asking us to examine and work with them. And in this period that Aries retrograde in Mars, whew, that's intense. We also have the Mercury retrograde coming up on the 14th, which is the Wednesday. This coming Wednesday. So just be mindful of how you communicate when you're triggered too. That being said, in this time, what can we work with? I would say, we just discussed the Death card. I would definitely say the Death card, that Scorpio energy of what are we ready to allow to transform? What have we outgrown? Like that little scorpion molting out of its shell. What have we outgrown? So how can we work with the Death card? And this is a little pregame to Scorpio season, which starts, like I said, on the 23rd. Also, I would say Eight of Cups, Saturn and Pisces energy. And Saturn and Pisces, that's a lot. Ooh, that's intense, right? Because Saturn is the kind of main teacher, I always say, of all of the planets, of the hard lessons, but the lessons that change you forever and make you grow. Saturn also just went direct in Capricorn. So we have a lot of Saturn energy, and we have, you know, Scorpio energy on the horizon. So embracing this Saturn in Pisces, and Pisces is that very emo sign. It's the 12th of the zodiac, who's learned all the lessons, who's really moved through a lot of those lessons that the other 11 signs have taught. So it's kind of, how can I really emotionally and spiritually connect with those Saturn lessons and know what I now need to walk away from? And those things could have been very beautiful. I always say Eight of Cups, heart chakra, water energy. They could have been very beautiful at the time. This could be a relationship that, like, I've had this, that was so incredibly intense and connected and loving. But it just, as we grow, sometimes we don't grow with the person together. Sometimes we don't grow with the job. With me and New York are not on the same page right now, you know, and it's being brave enough to really get honest with that and choose yourself when it's become detrimental, when it's become harmful, and no longer serving your best and highest interests. So I would work in this energy in terms of releasing feelings of anger, resentment, blocks, Eight of Cups, and this really rebirth transformation of the Scorpio Rules Death card. In terms of spells, I do have some awesome, and I love this. I actually did this last October. I really like this in the October waning moon especially, because I feel, I always say this is like a period of a new year for many of us, and I embrace this as kind of the energetic new year, the spiritual new year. So I like to do this in the waning moon, which we are in until the 23rd. So one thing to start is you can have the cards you're working with. If you do choose Death and Eight of Cups, you can have these kind of an altar space, the space that you're working with as you prepare. I also like to, I do a lot of candle magic. So I like to work with candles. And one simple way, you can always like cut and paste elements of this. I'm going to give you kind of my full ritual and how I do this. But if you're like, I just want to work with the cards, I just want to work with the candles. Sometimes when I'm just like, want to do a quick spell before bed, kind of do a brief meditation, I'll just do candle work. So you can do this with just candles, and I'm going to show you some other elements that are possible as well. So with the candles, I take the black, a black candle and a white candle. The black candle is symbolic of what we're releasing and clearing. Very, very Eight of Cups, as well as death. I feel like the death card holds both, the darkness and the light, as does Libra season. This is also perfect for Libra season and striking that balance. The releasing side, the black candle, you can also carve with a knife, a toothpick, a sharp object, carve in the things you are releasing and clearing. These can be self-limitations, toxic behaviors. It can be a relationship if you're like, I'm definitely done with this person, you want to carve that person's name. I, in spellcraft, really like to work just on my energetic field of like these, even if it's about a person, like clearing the belief that this is the best potential for a relationship with me, that I'm clearing like any limits around what the highest potential for a relationship. So if you're like, it has to be this person, I like to clear that belief of like, I want to tell the universe the best thing possible. You know, that all of a sudden, like some like amazing sexy witch alien is going to show up. I want that to be possible. I don't want to be like, it has to be this person. So I try to work with kind of clearing your own blocks versus clearing like anyone else's stuff. You know, I think it's just, it's more powerful and you get faster results with that. But that's just my preference. So anything you're clearing, carve into the candle. The white candle, you can carve into. I often don't. I use the white as the purifying. And this is kind of when I was talking about cleaning out our parking space. Purification, herbs like sage, Palo Santo, like selenite as a crystal that are just to like basically an energy like absorber of like, let's just clear and cleanse. The white candle is kind of doing the cleaning work as you're cleaning. Like if this is kind of the guy sweeping out the parking space, clearing the garbage, the white would be like the purification, like the saging the space, the making it like, okay, now this is energetically clean and open. And like, now we're receiving, like as we clear this, we're open to receive. You can like also be like, okay, I want to clear this, I'm purifying, and now I'm manifesting this. If you're really overly zealous, I like to just do the waning moon and the clearing spells as like really focusing on the clearing and then just purifying the space. So lighting the black first, focusing on those intentions, you can sit in meditation for a few moments, then lighting the white, right? And these, I use small candles for this, so these will burn down within an hour. You can just let them burn down at the same time that you're working on the rest of your ritual. So you can, again, leave it at that for the candles. The next step that I love in October, and I have some visuals for this. Okay, so for this next part, we have a couple different things we can work with. And again, customize this to what feels right, what works for you. The first thing that I like to do is, in addition, and if you're just cool with carving what you want to release and you're like, that's enough writing for me, I'm not really a journaler, cool. I like to write a list, kind of to the universe, to my guides, of what I would like them to help me clear and release. I then fold that up. You can also fold up any like mementos that you're wanting to get rid of, photographs, something that might be between you and a person or remind you of a negative job experience, the thing that you're like really trying to clear the energy around. I sometimes would clear things that were even self-imposed limitations. Like I have a really amazing contract with an agency and I'm so grateful for that. Like, thank you. I'm not trying to clear that contract, but I had a lot of attachment of like, oh, well, if they don't make this happen for me or I don't get this published, then I'm worthless. So I, last year in the waning moon in October, I took a lot of things that I was like, I just don't want energetic ties to that. I want that freedom, like that clearing, that purification of the energetic parking space. So I folded that up like the paper copy, and obviously I have a digital copy for like legal purposes, but I folded that up and placed it in here too. So anything that you're like, it feels heavy, it feels dense, I want to release that. I of course have this adorable little biodegradable coffin. If you like me love, you know, love an accessory, love a prop, these are at Michael's. They're now 40% off because a few weeks before Halloween, everything is like $2 there. So I think this was actually less than $2, but you know what I mean? These are really inexpensive and you can get them at Michael's Craft Store if there's one near you, but you can use a tiny box, anything that is, again, like ideally biodegradable because I'm going to bury this. So first thing I do is I put my list, any mementos that you're like, this is representative of what I am clearing and putting into the earth to transmute. The next thing herb-wise that I like is I really like to work with Tulsi, aka Holy Basil. So a little bit of fun fact around the medicine of this, and a lot of us, you know what this looks like. It's Holy Basil. It's, you know, it's, we put it on pizza, we put it in Italian food. It's delicious. It's very fragrant. We can also make this and drink this as a tea. So one of the things around holy basil from a medical standpoint is in the hippocampus part of our brain, there are stem cells that shrink with cortisol, aka the stress hormone, right? So it's like as we store trauma and stress around the toxic ex, around the, you know, horrible work experience, around a traumatic place that we were living or something, an experience that we went through, those cells in the hippocampus shrink. Tulsi, holy basil, is also known for regenerating stem cells, especially in that area of the brain. So this is really restorative, and that kind of, I would consider this herb very aligned with the death rebirth card of that Scorpio energy, of that, like, it's transforming. It's kind of like, yes, it's like allowing that trauma, that stress to move, to be rebuilt, actually stem cells rebuilding and regenerating. So you can do a couple of things with this. This is, and my new friend, one of my very new besties in this area, Christina, she is, when I think of her, I think of that scene from The Craft when they meet Robin Tooney's character, Sarah, and she's explaining things in her life and they're like, oh, natural witch, or like talking about her mom in the shop, and the shopkeeper's like, oh, your mother's a natural witch. Like, she's a very, like, she did, like, I think she just comes by it so naturally and so beautifully. She has this organic garden and she gives me a lot of herbs for my potions and my spells and elixirs. So this is from Christina. Thank you so much for the magical holy basil. So you can cook with this, you can create something to eat or a tea to drink while you're doing, after you light your candles and you're doing this ritual of kind of packaging this up, writing your list of releasing. You can also actually put some holy basil, I'm going to do this, like actually put it into the box or the mini coffin, if you will, to be able to actually, again, that's super biodegradable, so to put it back into the earth to be transformed and transmuted. The next thing I would say with this is if you want to do any kind of symbols or any sort of writing on this, on the box, or you can, as you can see on even on this little coffin, if you want to do anything symbolic, if you're like, this is, I want this whole 2020 to transform and release, if I want this specific experience, this toxic behavior, you can, I love to, you know, like write and list. So any symbolism, anything you want to write on this before you put it into the ground. And then the next step, just taking this out to a space. If you have outdoor space, like I used to say in Manhattan, it was a little tricky. I would go to a park at night and kind of find a spot. But if you have a space or a friend with space where you're able to bury, you know, find a place, put this in the ground. Also, any remaining wax from your candles, you can bury that with it as well. And just kind of sit in the space in front of the earth after you've finished burying it, and really meditate on giving gratitude for the earth for taking that and transforming it, and kind of feeling that lift of that energy as you fully let go of that, as you're starting to be like, yeah, I'm okay without that. I'm okay to, like, you know, eight of cups and death card, that energy. So I hope that was helpful. I hope that you enjoy that. Let's take a look. Oh, the other thing. I just had it here on the corner of my eye. The other thing, for those of you, I did have snake skin. It's not the most common spellcraft tool, but I also like to sit in meditation after I do my list, after I put the ingredients, and this usually is my last ingredient, holding the snake skin and really picturing that release. When I was talking about, you can hold the little coffin or box and kind of picture that. I really meditate on the snake skin. Often I even feel it move. It's a very powerful energy, because it's, you know, snakes are to me very, very scorpionic. I mean, if you can get a scorpion shell that molted, extra points to your Slytherin house for that. But snakes are very similar in that they're like shedding out of their constrictive, smaller, old skins that no longer are fitting them as they evolve and grow into a skin that will now suit them. So I like to use this. You can also bury that, put it into your box, your coffin as well. All right. So the next question I have is, I like this. I'm going to end on a fun little lighter note. Hey girl, you gave us a fierce list of all your fave witch flicks back in February. Any Halloween favorites that you didn't list there that we should see? At Mirza Fox 87. So thank you. I looked back, and for those of you who want to hear that list, I won't go through all of that again, but it's episode 81 of the podcast that was all about like amazing witch flicks that, if you haven't seen them, going all the way back to the 40s to present day. I think the latest one I listed was from 2018. So I'm a big like cinema nerd. So I watch a lot of movies that have anything to do with Wicca, with spellcraft, astrology, tarot. So those are some of my faves. For different reasons, and I'll explain why in that episode. In terms of Halloween specifically, I guess I'll keep this list short and sweet. My number one go-to is the OG Halloween. And people are always like, oh, you love scary movies, but you're this like light energy witch of healing. That's so crazy, because I know a lot of healers and a lot of my friends who they're empaths, they cannot watch scary movies. They find it very dark energy. And I'll tell you why I like them. I've always liked them. I love the ones that have badass empowered females. So Halloween was the OG of that for me in my lifetime. And Jamie Lee Curtis like kicks ass in that movie. And she's just like, not only am I a survivor, but I'm going to thrive and I'm going to win this thing. So I love Halloween. Definitely like the best of old school, you know, Halloween slasher flicks. And Jamie Lee is like the best heroine of all time. One of my other faves is definitely House of Wax. There's an original version that I want to say is from the 40s or 50s. I haven't seen that one in a while. But then there was the remake in the early 2000s, which has Alicia Cuthbert. Love her. She's Canadian. And Paris Hilton. And I am a big Paris fan. And for those of you who are not or are haters of Paris, aka Ten of Pentacles in my deck, I would highly encourage you to watch the recent documentary, This is Paris, of the trauma that she went through and kind of hid for a long time. So all of that being said, Paris Hilton getting like, you know, chased through the woods, and she fights. I have to say, she has a pretty good scene in that, may or may not make it the whole way through, but that's kind of like a fun updated Halloween movie. And there's also a very empowered heroine in Alicia Cuthbert in that movie, who's like really just smart and badass, and I love that one. And I know I listed this in my witch flicks as my fave, but it's just my fave any time of year, but especially Halloween, The Craft. Like, how can you not love The Craft? There's also the remake coming out, which I'm really excited. I'm kind of cautiously optimistic about the remake because I'm such a fan of the OG, which came out, I think, in 96 or 97. But I would definitely, whether you've seen it a million times, whether you haven't seen it at all, this is the season of The Witch. So the OG Craft from 1996. And then, yeah, let's check out the remake. I think it's coming out. I don't know if it's Netflix, but it's October 28th. The remake is coming out. So those would be my go-to. And I do, like I said, I have a thorough witch flicks list on episode 81 of the podcast. So I would check that out as well. I hope that is helpful. Apologies that I will not be with you next week, but I will be doing my big end of October Samhain ritual, Samhain update, Scorpio altar, because this is also one of my favorite times of year for creating an altar space. All of those tips coming on the following podcast, not this next weekend, but the 24th. In the meantime, let's celebrate October's cards. We have that justice energy of RBG, you know, coming in strong, giving us the power to speak our truth, utilizing the intuition of our third eye to kind of put anything into course, to speak anything out to the universe, to those in our lives that we need to allow forward motion with the air energy of Libra. We also have Two of Cups. So for some of you, yeah, it might be sexy love vibes. I'm not trying to hate on you, but like, probably not mine. But also, if it's not sexy love vibes, amazing collaborations, new clients, new creative collabs, new friendships coming in. For me, this is definitely work and friends. I'm like, again, a big shout out to Christina, my new Pennsylvania bestie with the incredible Holy Basil and just Garden of Magic. And this week, I know not everyone's thrilled to see this pull, but I do feel it's kind of aligned with the astro energies and this, like, remember when I kept saying October is going to be intense, and a lot of healers that I follow, Lee Harris, Lori Ladd, Phil Good, have all said the same thing, that like, it's not as bad as it could have been, that we've shifted a lot of and cleared a lot of timelines because we're continuing to ascend through this and in a big way, in a powerful shifting way. There's still some density there. We're still going to see some things like on a global perspective and then our own lives. But I welcome these Mars lessons because they help us to clear and alchemize. So beware of triggers this week in that Mars tower energy, and also mindful of how we speak it. Yes, important in the RBG justice card to speak our truths, but also with that Merc retrograde of taking a minute to, what is your intent in sharing the truth? Is it to heal, help, and empower? Because if not, and if it's more of a reaction, it may be important to step back and sit with yourself with the information because of that, you know, that Aries retro on Mars and the Mercury retrograde, and we have a tower week. So yeah, it's also calling for some of that third eye use of the justice card and some introspection as well. But I feel like it's good. It's an alchemizing week, preparing us for that the rest of Libra season into Scorpio. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, stay magical AF. We'll be right back.